Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Do you have enough strength to win the battle? Do you need some strength? I got good news for you. You're in the right place, because he who is strong enough to win the war, more than strong enough, he will give you his strength so that you can have strength to war. Good morning. This is your wake-up call. It's wake-up call 106, Strength for War. I'm your host, AJ, and this is the Faith for My Generation podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If it's your second or 106th wake-up call, welcome back. Glad that you're here. And I want to go straight to Joshua chapter 14, starting at verse 6. As we often do, I'm going to read a passage and we're going to break it down. And the theme for this episode today on the Faith for My Generation podcast is strength for war. Here's the reality. It's very simple. There's a war going on for your soul, for your spirit, for your life, for your body, for your thoughts, for your family, your relationships, for people's souls all around you. And you and I, we must come up to task. We have to realize that we are, as believers, soldiers in the army of God. And he has empowered and equipped us to have strength for war. We have to first realize it, believe it, and receive it by faith. And then secondly, we have to wage a good warfare. As it says, I believe, in 2 Timothy 1. We have to fight a good warfare, and we have to fight the good fight of faith. I know that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Nonetheless, there's a war, and there needs to be some warriors. And I'm believing that you and I, members of the faithful, that we are those warriors that will go in the strength of the Lord and fight the fight of faith. See many people saved and made into strong followers of Christ, and that we can come alongside one another with the Lord Jesus Christ and build his church in the earth. Let's go to Joshua 14, starting at verse 6, as we discuss this idea, this theme, strength for war. Verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses was servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart or the courage of the people fail or melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke his word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me the mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day that the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, or Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb may be one of my, it's hard to say favorite. I'm going to say top three. Top five. It's hard to dwindle it down, man. There's so many mighty, mighty warriors of faith in the Old Testament and the New, of course. But if we go Old Testament, let's see. Let's just do this for fun. You think of your top three Old Testament heroes of faith. I'll think of my top three. All right, you ready for my top three heroes of faith? If you're going to make me pick, you're making me pick, aren't you? You're doing it. I can tell you're doing it. AJ, I can hear you right now. AJ, you got to pick your top three heroes of faith in the Old Testament. Okay, let's do it. Caleb. Love Caleb. Caleb. Daniel. And Hannah. It's going to be those three. Daniel, Caleb, Hannah. We're talking about Caleb now. Daniel, of course, the mighty man of God that was in two different kingdoms as a high-level government official, had a spirit of excellence, Daniel 6. But he also was a man that saw into the times that have yet to come to pass. I mean, he saw mysteries that he couldn't even all completely speak of concerning the end of times, the end of this age, and that which is to come. I mean, deep, deep prophecies that have yet to even come pass yet. He was a man of purity. He was a man of faithfulness. Hannah, I love her. She was a woman of faith that desired greatly to have a son. And because of her faith, she let the word of God be established in her life, as her husband says in 1 Samuel 1. Let the word of God be established in your life. And she did by faith, and she received her promise from God, her answer from God, and she birthed the first of six children, that being Samuel, who was a mighty man of God. And then I like Caleb. Of course, Caleb's right there beside Joshua. Joshua's, I mean, he's top five, right? But you made me, you did it. You did it to me. You said top three. I like Caleb because he's got this spirit of faith. You know, in Numbers 13 and 14, it's such a powerful, I'm going to call it a dissertation. I'm going to call it a breakdown of faith. I'm going to call it a master class. You ever seen the advertisements for that online learning program called Masterclass? And it's where like the best of the best in their industry come and do these teachings and lessons. And it may be on anything, film or cinematography or studio mixing or guitar playing or public speaking. And they'll have some of the best folks in the industry sit down and they'll record, pre-record all these lessons and take you through how they do what they do to become the best in their industry. Well, Numbers 13 and 14 is a master class on faith, what faith looks like, how faith operates, how faith speaks, how faith thinks. And I'm going to say it was last Thursday as of in relation to today, when we're releasing this wake up call. The previous episode was three companions who cannot go to the promised land with you. And that's a live teaching I was preaching in my church, Gospel Tabernacle here in Lawrence. If you're ever in the upstate, come join us, of South Carolina. And I was preaching that message, three companions who cannot go with you to the promised land. And we look at Numbers 13 and 14. You got to listen to find out who the three companions are if you're curious. So scroll back after this one and listen to it. But we see Caleb and Joshua, they had a different spirit. That's what it says. They had a different spirit. It's Numbers 14. I bet I could find it pretty quickly. As I've mentioned many times before, if you use a paper Bible and use the same paper Bible every time, eventually what will happen is you'll begin to see verses. Even though you can't remember the verse reference, you'll be able to see it on a page. And I can remember this verse where it says they were of a different spirit is on the, I've got two column reference Bible. So each page has two columns. It's on the left page, left column, top left corner. There it is. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. So Caleb, this man, he had a different spirit. Wherever you're watching or listening from, won't you just say that? I have a different spirit. Say that again. I have a different spirit. If you're watching on a platform that allows you to comment, just comment. I have a different spirit. We have to have a different spirit because the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age, it is a spirit of Antichrist. We see that in 1 John chapter 4. Everything that the spirit, the flow of this present evil age, it is under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John 5 tells us this. 1 John 4 tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The spirit that is in us is the Holy Spirit. The spirit that is in the world is the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, not the man of lawlessness, he's yet to be revealed, but the spirit that will empower him. Really, it's the devil and the flow of the spirit realm of wickedness. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we don't rule war against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and wickedness, high places of wickedness. That's a spirit. So there's a war taking place, and you and I have to have a different spirit in order to have a good warfare, in order for us to possess the promised land. And Caleb, he is speaking to Joshua 45 years after Numbers 13 and 14. Of course, in Numbers 13 and 14, and Caleb reminds Joshua, look, we came back and we said we could go and take the land, but the other, our brethren, those 10 spies, there were 12 of us, Joshua, you remember it plainly, as plain as day, that's what I'm sure. You've rehearsed it in your mind every single day for 45 years. I mean, I feel like I would have. If I was Caleb and I'm just walking around in circles till all these unbelievers fall down dead in the wilderness. Remember, Israel was not walking around in the wilderness for the fun of it. God wasn't having them going around in circles just to, quote unquote, teach them a lesson. It was judgment. God said, you're going to walk in this wilderness until that unbelieving generation falls over dead. It wasn't just for a lesson. Now, it was a lesson for their children and a hard one to learn. Can you imagine? I bet this would took place. I can't say that it did because it's not written in Scripture. But I'm just thinking about myself as a parent. And I realize we got people from all different ages listening, young to old. We've probably got kids. We've got 13, 14, 15-year-olds listening. And we've got 60, 70, 80-year-old folks listening. We got all kinds of folks listening. So whether you're the child or the parent or the grandparent or maybe even a great-grandparent, I know this as myself as a parent and experience as a son. I just know that if I made a huge mistake like they did, not being able to go to the promised land, I bet I would be telling my kids every day, now look, you better trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see that man Caleb over there? You see that man Joshua? He's the same age as me. He's going to get to go in the promised land, but I can't go with you because I didn't believe God. I'm telling you, you follow them. You look at them. When they say something, you do it. You see this word of the Lord that we've received, these Ten Commandments that we got from the man Moses, the law that he brought down from Mount Sinai. You listen to that law. When I'm talking to you about it, you listen. You hide it in your heart. Don't make the mistake I made. I don't know about you, but right now I know that I would do that as a parent. And even though I don't see it's plainly written, so I can't say for 100% that's what took place, I feel like from one parent to another that if they were about 3-4 million people, maybe half of them are this age and older, that were of the unbelieving generation, I feel like they were probably giving lessons to their kids and their grandkids every single day. Don't doubt God. Don't do it. It costs too much. Doubt costs too much. Unbelief, it costs too much. It will destroy you. Faith, the just shall live by faith. I heard my pastor say this. Hebrews 10:38, it quotes Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. If I am to live by faith, then I must grow and strengthen my faith. If the just are to live by faith, if I'm required to live by faith, then I need to get about the business of building up, continually strengthening my faith. And Caleb was a man of faith. He had a different spirit. What we see here, and this phrase is used several times in Numbers 13 and 14, Caleb wholly, wholly, completely, the whole ball of wax, the whole shebang, the entire spirit, soul, and body. He wholly followed the Lord. And he says it. It's not an act of pride, but he's saying, look, even though the brethren, they made the people's heart melt, but I wholly followed the Lord, Joshua. I've been waiting, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. This is my moment. I have been waiting. For what Moses said was mine, the inheritance that is mine, that land, because the man of God Moses said, this is Joshua 14:9, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever. When I was reading that in Numbers 14, that just struck me. Again, as I mentioned, I'm a father. I need you to understand something. Even if you've yet to have children, you've yet to get in that place of being a parent. If parents are listening or grandparents are listening or those that desire to become parents or you believe you will one day, I need to tell you something. Your faith, it's not just about what you can get for you. Your faith is also, it has a strength to go to war to get something for those that are going with you. That inheritance, Caleb got an inheritance, not just for himself. He got an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Caleb won something that day, even though it was 45 days and he'd yet to enter in, because he had a peculiar situation. God said, I'm going to bring the nation of Israel, not just the man Caleb. If it was just the man Caleb, Caleb would have went in that day 45 years ago. But he was in a peculiar situation. You and I, we're not in that situation. We're walking by faith, you and I, with Christ. You and I have our own walk to answer for. You for yours, me for mine. But in this particular dispensation and in this particular situation, Caleb had to go in with the nation because that's what God promised. But nonetheless, even though a generation couldn't go, Joshua and Caleb made it in by faith. And so Caleb got something that day, not just for himself. He got something for his children and his children's children. And I'm here to tell you, it is no different for you and I today. Why does it matter for you to have strength for war, to go and fight a good warfare, to go and receive and possess the very things that God has said that you can have? Why does it matter that you can do what the Lord has said for you to do? Why does it matter for you to take action on the Word of God? Why does it matter for you to build up your faith? Because what you'll win with your faith, the strength you get from God to war, it is not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of those around you. Again, if you're married, when you build up your faith and you have strength to war, it doesn't just bless you, it blesses your spouse. If you're a parent or a grandparent, it doesn't just bless you, it blesses your children and your children's children. If you're part of a church family, and you should be, you know I love church and I believe in good Bible-believing churches, and I believe in being a part of ministering and working in my local church. You should be a part as the member of the faithful. You should be in a good Bible-believing church, serving in that church, actively attending. When the doors are open, you're there. But why does your faith matter? Why does your having the ability to, having strength to go to war matter? Because it won't just bless you, it's going to bless your church and your church family. Why does it matter for you to build up your strength? As the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, so that if anyone asks, you can give them an account for the joy and the hope you have and win someone else to Christ. You have to have strength to war for a good warfare. I kept using that phrase. Let me read it. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Whew. You see that? You see the connection there? 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Paul's referring to the words that have been spoken over Timothy's life concerning the gift of being a pastor and doing the work of an evangelist. And he actually says this, you know, stir up that gift, Timothy, that came down from your grandmother and your mother. I think one of them was named Eunice, E-U-N-I-C-E. Stir up that gift that you received by the laying on of hands. By him, and I believe elders as well, is what it said. But nonetheless, those prophecies made to you, Timothy, those things that people spoke to you by the Spirit of God, remember those things, have faith, go out in faith, do what the Lord's spoken to you through prophecy so that you might wage a good warfare. This is what Caleb's doing. He got a word from God. Caleb got a word from God through the man of God named Moses Caleb, everywhere your foot touched the dirt, where you walked around, you was trodden around in there, that's going to be your inheritance for you and your children. And so we need strength to war. We need to have strong faith so that we can receive something not just for us, but for those that come behind us and along with us. Now, here's the thing. The strength for war that I'm talking about, it's not determined by your age. Well, I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm in the middle, so I'm just right. My daughter, she's part of this book program. It's a book program that's done by Dolly Parton. And she gets a new book, I believe it's every month, one book a month, until she's 5 years old, I believe is what it is. It's really neat. Anyway, February was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You've probably heard this story before, but there was the great big Dada Bear. Everything was too big or too large for Goldilocks or too hot, the porridge. Then there was Mom, the middle-sized bear. Then there was the wee small little bear that the book uses it. I remember those words, the wee small little bear. And it was just right. You know, lots of times people play that game with themselves. Well, I'm too old. I'm too young. Well, when are you ever going to be just right? Hey, I got good news for you. You're just right right now. Where you find yourself today, all you need is faith. I can hear R.W. Shambach saying that through the ministries I've heard of him recorded. You know, you don't have a problem. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. And that's the truth of it. Make a good warfare. Go to have a good warfare based on these prophecies, based on the Word of God, based on what God has spoken to you. You take that and run with it because your age don't matter. Caleb, he believed it when he was 40. 45 years later, he believed it when he was 85. It still worked for him. You know, this strength for war that Caleb got, it was not determined by his heritage because there's other people in his clan that died in the wilderness. Other people that was from his tribe, they died. They died. He didn't. Caleb had a strength for war, and it didn't matter what his title was. He was a spy, yeah, one of the 12, but it didn't matter his title. It wasn't determined by title. There were other people that actually held titles. They died. So how did Caleb get this strength for war? By faith in what God had said. By faith in the Word of God. And what did Caleb do? He wholly followed the Lord. See, it doesn't matter if you hear God's Word. That's not where the power's at. Matthew 7, Jesus teaches on this. There's two builders. They're building two different houses. They have two different foundations. They both experience the same storm, the same wind, same rain, same flood. Two outcomes. One, it stands, one falls. What's the difference? One heard and did. The power of God is found and expressed and experienced and released in doing. Let me say that again. The power that is in God's Word has an inherent power. It just has power in it to do what it's promised to do. That power is released, experienced, expressed, possessed. It operates in your life at the point that you hear and do. If you just hear, it's like a seed still in a packet. It produces no fruit. But the point you take the seed and plant it, water it, grows, then you have a harvest. At the point that you hear the Word of God and you act on it, that's when it brings about the power of God. And Caleb got a hold of this. And literally, Caleb's been waiting for 45 years to act on the word that he was given. And that's what he's saying in Joshua 14, verse 11. I love it, man. I'm going to read it again. As yet I am as strong this day on the day that Moses sent me. It's been 45 years, Joshua. I've been hitting leg day every week. I've been repping bench presses and deadlifts. I've been chinning and dipping. I've been carrying this outdoor gym in my tent all these... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if he's doing those things. I've been bench pressing goats and sheep. I've been sprinting with the young guys. I've been practicing my swordsmanship. Shout out to Seafood Jason, who's written a book on swordsmanship. I've been working on my defense and my offense, my footwork. I'm ready. I've got my armor ready to go. I've been polishing this armor for 45 years. I'm ready to get it dinged up and bent up in battle. No cuts or bruises for himself, of course, though. I am as yet as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Notice that. The word of God will carry you through your life. Why is Caleb just as strong? And I take it literal. When I read the Bible, I take it literal, unless we can see clearly it's figurative language. But this ain't figurative. How do I know what Caleb's saying is not figurative? Because Caleb actually did what he said he was going to do. He'd be blowing a lot of hot air if he just, you know, hobbled up there in a walker or a cane or a, you know, a little scooter. Oh, my battery died on my scooter. Oh, no, there's giants coming. I mean, like, it would be one thing if he didn't get what he said he could get, but he went and got what he said was his. So I take it literal. How can he be just as strong at 85 years old as he was when he was 40? The word of God carried him. It's a supernatural thing we're talking about. We're talking about a supernatural power, something that's not birthed or controlled or tamped down by the powers of this earth or the spirit of this age. We're talking about something greater than the spirit of this age, something that's above the restraining powers of this world and existence. We're talking about the power of God that was released in his life. He had strength to war. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. I love that, man, because Caleb said, I'm not going to that mountain and I'm not taking out those giants just to get struck down dead and be buried up there on that mountain. I'm going into Hebron and I'm taking it and I'm going to go in and come out as I please because I have strength for war. And he told Joshua, give me this mountain. Give it to me. And not only that, he said, I want the one where the giants are. Give me the mountain because there's giants. There's a great and fortified city. Let me go and I'll be able to drive it out as the Lord said. Won't you say this out loud? As the Lord said. That's right. As the Lord said. That's the basis of all our faith. As the Lord said. Well, what you going to do, AJ? What the Lord said. Well, how can you do that? Because the Lord said it. How you know it's going to happen? Because the Lord said it. Well, how can you believe it? How can you base your life on it? How can you make decisions concerning that? Because the Lord said it, and I just believe it. Psalm 27, 1 through 3. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. Look at that. The psalmist, David, he's writing Psalm 27, and it is an exuberant declaration of faith. He's making this declaration, God is my light, God is my salvation, and the Lord is my strength. Strength for war. Where are you going to get this strength to go and fight? 1 Timothy 1:18, a good warfare, you're going to get it from God. How do you receive it? By faith in his word. And when you get that strength from God, who are you going to be afraid of? Why be fearful? Why be afraid? The New Testament example, version of that is Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetous. Be content with the things you have. For he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It don't matter what man can, what's man going to do to me? If God is for me, then who can be against me? If the Lord has my back, then what am I going to be afraid of? Now notice though, if the Lord has my back, now if you're just willy-nilly and doing whatever you want, you know, you'll get slapped around and squashed twice on Sunday. But when you wholly follow the Lord, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, totally, spirit, soul, body, the whole package, the whole shebang, as we were saying just a few minutes ago, like Caleb, if you wholly follow the Lord, who you got to be afraid of? Nobody. Who you got to be fearful of? Nobody. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If my God, who rules heaven and earth, if he is for me, then who can be against me? Now, it doesn't mean that no one will be against you. Well, can't nobody be against me? No, there'll be people that will try to stand up against you. The phrasing there, if God is for us, who can be against us, is implying even if I have enemies, like Psalm 27, they try to rise up and eat my flesh, but they stumbled and fell. The very people, the very entities, the very power, the very attacks of the enemy that tried to take me out wasn't strong enough. See, when you get strength for war from God, who is our strength, the strength of the enemy isn't strong enough. I'll say that again because let's see if I can. I think I can do it. Let's try it one more time. When you get strength for war from the Lord, who is our strength, the strength of the enemy isn't strong enough. Amen. When you got God's strength, the enemy's strength just isn't strong enough. Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing breaks the yoke. You know what that means? When you and I have the anointing of God on our lives, when we're doing what he's called us to do. Again, now listen here. You know me. If you've been listening for more than one episode, and I've already said it in this one, I'm talking about total, complete surrender to God. I'm talking about being lockstep with him and his word. I'm talking about saying, you, Jesus, you're my Lord, which means you rule my life, which means if you say it, I believe it. If you say yes, I say yes. If you say no, I say no. If you say go, I'm gone. If you say stay, I'm camping out right here till you tell me to move. I am going to be obedient. I'm going to be like Caleb. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. And it's at that place. That's the place. That's the place where strength for war fills you from God Almighty. Psalm 69 through 12, who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of a man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who should tread down our enemies. You know, this is referring to basically what takes place any time the people of Israel went out in warfare, and there's several times where they did it in the Old Testament, went without God's power, they got whipped. Even when it was times where they had more physical mass army, they had more men, they had actually thousands of more men on their side, Israel's side, they still lost if they went without God. But when they went with God, they won, and they won valiantly. They won amazingly. They won with all power and all ability. Now, what will this strength for war do for you? Hebrews 11:33 mentions Caleb, though not by name. Caleb certainly would fall in this. In fact, I'm going to read 32 through 34. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also of David, Samuel, and the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Or strangers, foreigners. Caleb, by faith, saw kingdoms subdued. He was able to take out tribes of giants that were living in his inheritance. And he did it by faith in God's word. I like that in verse 34. I didn't see that first. Out of weakness were made strong. We're talking about strength for wars. We finish up here in just next few moments with this episode, this podcast episode. Hebrews 11:34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong, became valiant in battle. Out of weakness we're made strong. Out of weakness we're made strong. If you're listening right now and you think, you know what, I need some strength. Well, good news is this. God Almighty, He is, as we read in Psalm 27, the Lord is our strength. He is our strength. And if you need strength, He'll give you strength. He'll empower you. In fact, the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. How can you have joy and how can it become strength? Well, you can have joy when you begin to study and read the Word of God, fill your heart with it, and you realize, I've got the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've received the victory. It's already ours. Christ purchased it with His blood. Now we just go in that strength and fight a good warfare. We have a wage of good warfare. Fight the good fight of faith. But it takes faith. Out of weakness became strong. Joel 3:10 says this, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. You know, it begins with changing your heart and changing your faith. And when you fill your heart with the Word of God, what you say will change. Jesus said in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, if you'll fill your heart with His Word, your mouth will begin to say different things. And Joel 3:10 tells us, let the weak, those who are currently weak, let them say, I am strong. Hebrews 11:34, out of weakness became strong. Joshua 14, when Caleb says it, just as I was then, 45 years ago, I am now today strong. I have strength for war. Just as I had strength then, I now have strength for war. Strength for war. I want to encourage you. It's not your strength. You're not relying on your ability. You're not relying on your power, on your might, or even motivation or getting yourself pumped up. Hey, those things are fine, whatever. You can get yourself pumped up, but it has to be something more than just getting yourself motivated or pumped up. We're talking about strength from God. And if you're watching and listening, and you've never received Christ as Lord, I'm going to just be up front with you. You'll never have strength that you need. You have to receive it from Him who is strong. Once you pray this prayer with me, and you can receive all the strength you need by way of salvation by confessing Christ as Lord. The Bible tells us when you believe in your heart on the risen Son of God, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever calls on Him will never be put to shame. Once you pray this prayer with me, you've listened this far already. There's some strength that you have need of that you've yet to possess, but you can have it once you receive Christ as Lord. Pray this prayer with me and say, Father, I believe that You sent Your only begotten Son to die on my cross for my sins, to die my death, to pay my debt, to fill my grave. I believe 3 days later, Christ rose from the dead. And with His life, by the same Spirit, I too am made alive. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess Jesus is my Lord. I repent of my sins, my way of life. Help me to never fall back that way again, but rather by Your Spirit, by Your power, by Your strength, help me to wage a good warfare, to fight the good fight of faith, to live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, or you prayed that prayer as a prayer of recommitment, won't you send me a message, send me a DM, comment, somehow let me know, and I'd love to be able to send you a link so you could fill out a form, and I'll send you completely free for you a study guide that if you'll take it with your Bible and study through it, it'll help you become a strong Christian. Because the prayer of salvation is the first step into the beginning of a journey called eternal life. And I want you to do it and become strong, a strong believer and a strong disciple. And we do that through the study and teaching of the Word of God. And I believe that study guide, completely free for you, if you'll just fill out the information, I'll be happy to pay the cost to mail it to you. In fact, the good people of our church that are generous, they do that. They take part in that to send those books out all over the U.S. And I'd love to bless you with it so that you can become a strong Christian and have strength to war. For all those that are, have been watching and listening that are members and part of the faithful, I want you to know that the Lord's our strength. We have nothing to fear, nothing to be fretful over, but rather you and I have strength to war. I know that we do because we are the faithful. I'll see you next time. God richly bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.